Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we continue reading the Grantharashtra Bhagavatam, given to us by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Prabhupada. We're going to start now the chapter 3 from the ninth canto, entitled The Marriage of Sukanya and Chyavana Muni. So we're going to read this summary, and I'm going to keep going reading until text number 9, the one who has a purport. So please bear with me. So the resume is as follows. This chapter describes the dynasty of Sariyati, another son of Manu, and also tells about Sukanya and Revati. Devagya Sarati gave instructions about what to do in the ritualistic ceremony observed on the second day of the Yagya of the Angirasas. One day, Sariyati, along with his daughter, known as Sukanya, went to the ashram of Chyavana Muni. There, Sukanya saw two glowing substances within a hole of earth worms, and by chance she pierced those two glowing substances. As soon as she did this, blood began to ooze from that hole. Consequently, King Sariyati and his companions suffered from constipation and inability to pass urine. When the king asked why circumstances had suddenly changed, he found that Sukanya was the cause of this misfortune. Then they all offered prayers to Chyavana Muni just to satisfy him according to his own desire. And Devagya Sarati offered his daughter to Chyavana Muni, who was a very old man. When the heavenly physicians, the Ashwini Kumara brothers, once visited Chyavana Muni, the Muni requested them to give him back his youth. These two physicians took Chyavana Muni to a particular lake in which they bathed and regained his full youth. After this, Sukanya could not distinguish her husband. She then surrendered into the Ashwini Kumaras, who were very satisfied with her chastity and who therefore introduced her again to her husband. Chyavana Muni then engaged King Sariyati in performing the Soma Yagya and gave the Ashwini Kumaras the privilege to drink Soma Rasa. The King of Heaven, Lord Indra, became very angry at this, but he could not do harm to Sariyati. Henceforward, the Ashwini Kumaras physicians were able to share in the Soma Rasa. Sariyati later had three sons, named Uttanavarhi, Anartha, and Burishena. Anartha had one son, whose name was Revata. Revata had 100 sons, and whom the eldest was Kakudmi. Kakudmi was advised to Lord Brahma to offer his beautiful daughter, Revati, to Baladev, who belonged to the Vishnu Tattva category. After doing this, Kakudmi retired from family life and entered the forest of Bharadikrashama to execute austerities and penances. Text number 1. I'm going to read just the English translations. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continue. O King Sariyati, O King Sariyati, another son of Manu was the ruler, completely aware of the Vedic knowledge. He gave instructions about the functions for the second day of the Yagya to be performed by the descendants of Angira. Text number 2. Shariati had a beautiful lotus-eyed daughter named Sukanya, with whom he went to the forest to see the ashram of Chyavana Muni. Number 3. While that Sukanya, surrounded by her friends, was collecting various types of fruits from the trees in the forest, she saw within the hole of an earthworm two things glowing like luminaries. Number 4. As if induced by providence, the girl ignorantly pierced those two glowworms with a thorn, and then they were pierced. And when they were pierced, blood began to ooze out of them. Text number 5. Thereupon, all the soldiers of Sariati were immediately obstructed from passing urine and stool. Upon perceiving this, Sariati spoke to his associate in surprise. Text number 6. How strange is that the one of us has attempted to do something wrong to Chyavana Muni, the son of Bhrigu. It certainly appears that someone among us has polluted this ashram. Text number 7. Being very much afraid, the girl Sukanya said to her father, "I have done something wrong, for I have ignorantly pierced these two luminous substances with a thorn." Text number 8. After hearing this statement by his daughter, King Sariati was very much afraid. In various ways he tried to appease Chyavana Muni, for it was he who sat within the hole of the earthworm. Text number 9. So we're going to read together this. Tadabhiprayam agyaya pradaduhitaram mune kricham muktastan amantriya Paramprayat samahitam tadviprayam agyayam pradarduhitaram mune kricham muktastam amantriya Paramprayat samahitam Tadavyaprayam agyayam pradaduhitaram mune kricham muktastam amantriya puram prayat samahita. So please chant. Kricham muktastang amantriya puram prayat samahita tadavi prajana gyajam Praradohitana Mune Kritram Muktastam Amantriya Varam Rayat Samahitah Tadha Viprayam Agyaya Praradohitara Mune Kritcham Muttastam Amantriya Puram Prayat Samahidam Tada Pri Prayang Agyaya Pradarduhitara Mune Kritcham Muttastam Amantriya Puram Prayat Samahita. Like this, please. Tadavi Prayang Agyaya Pradaduhi Taramune Chamutista Amantriya Puram Prayat Samahita. Tada viprayam agyaya pradaduhitara mune mantriya pamprayat samahita. Word for word. Tat ochavana muni. Avipraayan, the purpose, agyaya, understanding, pradat, delivered, duhitaram, his daughter, mune, unto Chavana Muni, kritrat, with great difficulty, mukta, released, Tam Nimuni Amantriya, taking permission, Uram, to his own place, Prayat, went away, Samahitaha, being very contemplative. Translation in Purport by His Divine Grace is Sivaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Kin Sharyati, being very contemplative and thus understanding Chavana Muni's purpose, gave his daughter in charity to the sage, thus released from danger with great difficulty, he took permission from Chavana Muni and returning home. Purport. The king, after hearing this statement of his daughter, certainly told the great sage Chavana Muni everything about how his daughter had ignorantly committed such an offense. The Muni, however, inquired from the king whether the daughter was married. In this way, the king, understanding the purpose of the great sage Chavana Muni, Tad Abhiprayam Agyaya, immediately gave the Muni his daughter in charity and escaped the danger of being cursed. Thus, with the permission of the great sage, the king returning home. Om Akhyana Timirandasya Ginangiran Shalaka Chaksuru Militangina Tasmasi Urebe Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Viravahu Prabhuriti Namine Si Sivrinata Vira Padamankaya Daini Prabhupadanuvadaya Nama Sivirahare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauri Brani Prachinine Nirvisesa Sunyavani Paschachare Satarine Ancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Yovecha Patitanam Pavane Vyovasna Vivyo Namo Namaha. Thank you everyone for being in Srimad Bhagavatam class. So when I was reading this story, the first things I thought was, what all this story has to do with the spiritual life? You see, it looked like a more or less bedtime story for kids. You see, the story is from the king go to see this Muni and with his little daughter. Probably Sukanya was about, I don't know, more like 12 years old or something, because she was very innocent and picking flowers with her friends. And he said that Chavana Muni was meditating in earthworms. The Sanskrit word for this translation is Balmika, let me see, Balmika Randre. This I don't remember the word. Balmika Randre is translated in the hole of the earthworm. So I was thinking how this works. He was underground or something. And for somehow or other it's translated in the hole of the earthworms. But the word Balmika means anthill. As you are familiar with this Valmiki, the one who wrote the Ramayana, it's because he was meditating for many years and he was covered with the anthill. When he came up, he bore the name Valmiki. Because the anthill. So Randre means the hole. So it seems like he was in an anthill meditating, and the two blue substances disappeared that were his eyes. And Sunyaka, what is that? What's Sunyaka? Sukanya, I'm sorry. Sukanya was bewildered with these two things, and he just took a thorn and pierced them. But the acharyas, like a pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they can see the spiritual essence in all these stories. Therefore, it's very important that we practice spiritual life from the guides of the pure devotee of Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada, who explained all these stories. Because later on we find out how this example, this story particularly, present some system of the Vedic culture about the structure of the society and relationship with family affairs and the married situations. It's not like some societies called spiritual societies, and they are, for example, I hear this, they're giving sannyas to the female members, but still they mix together with any restrictions, and they think this is spiritual. I remember when I was used to do service in the restaurant, I read one card once. He was a nice person, and he was sannyasi, supposed to be sannyasi. And I read in his card, he said, completely self-realized souls, completely surrendered to God and goddesses. And then one time, I think it was one of her disciples or something, his disciples, female disciples. And immediately when they saw each other, they said, how are you? And embracing and kissing. And they were thinking, this is not a spiritual life. Prabhupada and the Vedic and the old acharyas, they give us the Siddhanta, the real things. So how, therefore there is Varnashrama. The Varnashrama. So here is presenting some of these features of the Vedic culture, the Varnashrama. They will continue. Tomorrow Ravindra Prabhu will speak in the next verse that I didn't want to speak about this. This is a very hot topic about the submission of the woman to the husband. So he will speak about this. He more qualified for that. But still, this is presenting some things of the one of the system of the Vedic culture is called Kanyadana. That is translated as arranged marriages. Sometimes Prabhupada says Kanyadhaya. That's this. Daya means the obligation of the father to get his daughter married. before she reached puberty. So therefore, this system of marrying the girls at very early age, from 9 to 12, was very successful in the Vedic times. Prabhupada speaks about his own experience in his life. He said all his sisters were married from 9 to 12. And he said that one time, one of his sisters was already 12, and there was still no arranged marriage for her. And his mother came to his father, and she said to him, "I will go to the river and I will commit suicide." He said, "This girl is not married yet." And then his father said, "What can I do?" He said, "I'm trying." So this was the system. Even Prabhupada himself, he said when he was married, his wife was 11 years old. So it used to work perfectly, but now the structure of the society has changed in India. And the mentality also has changed from the boys and girls. And therefore, the system is not spiritual anymore, because it's based on the mundane varnashram and the Vedic culture is lost. So Prabhupada said that India is like a dead elephant. He said an elephant either is alive or dead. His price is 1 lakh of rupee. So in India, if the elephant was alive, it's 1 lakh of rupee. When he's dead, he also 1 lakh of rupee. Because he said even his tusk, his ivory, and his skin, his bone, his meat was very valuable. So therefore he compares India as a dead elephant, because when the Vedic culture was in his function in India, and there was like an elephant who was alive. But now the Vedic culture is gone. Now it's like a dead elephant, because the potency is still there. It's still there. It's potential there in India, even though has become, transversed. It has become, he said this, Hinduism is not in these Vedic scriptures. Hinduism, his Prabhupada explained, is when the Vedic culture is not followed properly. So the word Hindu is not a Sanskrit word, it's not in the scriptures. It's just some words made about the Muslims or Persians. So therefore this Hindu Dharma, he said, there is not just such a thing, a Hindu Dharma. So anyway, Prabhupada, he also was sorry to see how the Indian people come to the West after material progress. He used to criticize and said that the Indians who come to the United States, the immigrants, are like the new cross, and the Western are like the old cross. He said, the crow is, you know, this is a black bear who feeds from garbage. Because the Western, he said, they already taste this sense gratification. And therefore, sometimes they are tired, it then become like a false renounce, like a hippies. But the Indians who come to the Western, he said, there's a new cross. They are very eager to take this, he said, this garbage of sense gratification, the material progress. So that's what his Prabhupada. But at the same time, Prabhupada, his criticism wasn't out of envy or fault finding. Prabhupada, practically his criticism, he used to criticize also the scientists and the Mayavadis. He called them rascals, fools, and all those things. But this Prabhupada's criticism was out of his mercy, out of his love. Because when he used to meet with the Indians who were living here, he was especially affectionate to them, very friendly to them. So this is the proof. Prabhupada was not in his criticism. Wasn't in the mood of hatred of enviousness. Even Prabhupada himself, he makes some. He was engaging in arranged marriages in the ISKCON society. because he saw was the need of that, because he didn't like this. His disciple was living together as a boyfriend and girlfriend. He's properly married. And also he make difference. But he didn't force anybody. If somebody wasn't attracted to each other, Prabhupada didn't force them. They give a freedom to choose some partner. Even today in Iskcon society, there is some arrangement for marriages. I read a couple of stories that were very successful, and one from the sides of the Mataji and the other from the sides of the Prabhu. There is one devotee, I think he was from Indian families. He belonged to ISKCON. He was initiated devotee. He was a young boy. His name was Nitai Goranga. And he was living in Tennessee, in the United States. And his parent arranged a marriage with some lady from West Bengal, from one village from West Bengal. She wasn't devotee. Her family was from Indian traditions, this Hinduism, some tradition. Her name was Meena. And the parents said, you have to marry with this girl. And the boy said, I will marry with the condition she become devotee of Krishna. But the girl, she was interested to become Krishna consciousness. It's the only contact he had with Krishna was when Jayapataka Swami, one time he went to the village when she was 12 years old. And Jayapataka Swami gave a lecture in Bengali. In Bengali. She was very impressed how Jayapataka Swami, being a Western body, a white body, he spoke so fluently Bengali. But he didn't trust the white devotees and the white bodies. But this boy sent some book from Srila Prabhupada's book to this girl, Meena, and she was very interested. So at the end, she ended to be initiated. Her name was Matsya Devidasi. And then the boy agreed to get married. And then she brought it from India to here. And now they are very happy with the family, three children and everything. So it seems like a war sometimes. And I read another one that the girls wanted to get married because she said her spiritual life by herself was very difficult. And she felt there was a need for a husband to continue her spiritual life. But then the prospect that was chosen by her, she didn't feel an attraction, and she refused to get married, said no. But after the time passed, it was more difficult for her to be alone. So after 5 years, she decides, okay, I will marry this person. And then, but ended up a good thing, because when she married, she find out that the nature was almost similar to her, and they were so happy, and then there it was. She was so happy. Then I read another one that was completely disaster, this arrangement. She suffered so much. Anyway, after reading those stories, I realized that it was not fit for me to read more stories of this. So I changed it to read the arrangement of Krishna and Rukmini. And that was very transcendental. By the way, Chaivana means causing to fall in Sanskrit. What happened in this story is that Chavana is the son of Bhrigu Muni, who is also the father of Sukracharya. So Chavana and Sukracharya, they are brothers. And the mother, her name is Puluma. So Puluma was already pregnant from Chavana. And one time Bhrigu Muni left the ashram, and Arashasha came. And he became so attracted to Puluma, and he decided to kidnap her. So in the rush, when he was carrying her away, she delivered the baby, and the baby fell down to the ground. That is called Chavana. He was expelled or caused to fall. So he was afraid, and he ran away. So after that, Puluma picked the child and went to, back to the ashram and tell the story to Bhrigu Muni when he came back. And they named it Chavana for that. Anyway, Bhrigu Muni cursed the Rakshasa to become insect. Excuse me. So this is the story of Chavana Muni. Chavana Muni was so powerful, Muni. Therefore, the king, this particular story, it doesn't represent actually the Kanyadana, even though he said that he gave the daughter in charity to Chavana Muni, but it doesn't present the system of Danya Kan, Danya Kanadiana Dana, because the some people think that this arranged marriages it means that the parents forced the 12-year-old girls to marry to a 50-year-old man, but it's not like that. It's appeared here. This is the example. Chavana Muni was very old, probably hundreds of years old, or maybe thousands, because his son is Bhrigu Muni. And Sukanya was just about 12 years old. But because the king, he said, was very afraid. Chavana Muni was so powerful, it is said, I hear some stories, that when he used to go to meditate to the Ganges, when the Ganges was, the current so strong and so turbulent water, the Ganges, out of respect, the Muni, she became so calm and very peaceful, so the sages could meditate very peaceful in there. So that's why this was a particular, a special situation about this marriage. Rukmini, coming back to the Rukmini, she actually arranged the marriage with Krishna. She sent a letter to Krishna to kidnap her. That is called Rakshasa. There are eight kinds of Mary systems of Mary in the Vedic system. They are described in the Manu Sanhita. So one of them is the Rakshasa. So it is sanctioned by the scripture, because even Krishna himself arranged the Mary from Arjuna in Subhadra. So Rukmini sent the letter to Krishna, actually confessing that he was complete, he wanted to marry to him. And the Krishna confessed to the Brahmana that also he wanted to marry to Rukmini. He said that, "I even couldn't sleep thinking Rukmini." You see, for a conditioned soul, this statement, it seems that the person should be totally in Maya. Yeah, they couldn't sleep thinking of some girl. But in Krishna's pastimes, this is very, actually very glorious. It's very transcendental. Because Srila Prabhupada explained that Rukmini is Lakshmi of fortune. It's the internal chit-shakti, the internal energy of Krishna. So anyway, Krishna arranged Duraka, what is his name? The chariot driver? Daruka, to prepare his chariot and to join his four celestial horses. The name of the horses are, you know the names of horses? Anyone knows? Savya, Sugriva, Balahaka, and Megapushpaka. Megapushpa and Balahaka, the four celestial horses. So he took the Brahmana and also went to Vidarbha, Providence, where Rukmini lived with his father Bhishmaka. And there, the king received him very nicely, because everybody wants to marry actually Rukmini with Krishna. But his elder brother Rukmini didn't want to marry to Shishupala. Anyway, the story is that at the end, Krishna kidnapped Rukmini and he killed many of these enemies, princes who were against Krishna, envious to Krishna. And the story of Arjuna and Subhadra is also very nice. Krishna has a cousin called, his name was Gada. And this Gada used to be trained under the supervision of Dronacharya with Arjuna and all the Kauravas. And Gada used to speak about Subhadra to Arjuna. So Arjuna became very attracted and he decides to marry to Subhadra. So one time And when he was in pilgrimage, the reason he was in pilgrimage was because the Pandavas, they married to Draupadi, they were five husbands. So they were agreement to turn times to be alone, each one of them, with Draupadi in privacy, so nobody can, anyone interrupt. But what happened is that one time Yudhishthira was with Draupadi, and there was a Brahmana who, some thief stole his cow, and he went to complain to the palace in Indraprastha that the, where is the Kshatriya, he said, I've been stolen, my cow has been stolen by inscrupulous persons, and there was no Kshatriya who protect me. So he criticized Yudhishthira, saying, Arjuna said, don't worry, this, I will take care of it. I will punish these thieves and I return your cow. But in that moment he realized his bow and arrows were in the room where Yudhishthira was with Draupadi. So he was covering in one dilemma, oh, what to do? But he has to perform his duty as a Kshatriya and protect the integrity of Yudhishthira at the same time. Because the deal was, if somebody interrupted, he was forced to go to exile for 1 year to the forest. So this, he decides to go in the room and knock the doors and enter and say and explain to Yudhishthira what's happening, and took the arrow and bow and he went back. So he ended killing the thieves and took the cow and gave it to the Brahmana, and then he came back and paid obeisance to Yudhishthira. And he said, I'm ready to go to pilgrimage. And Yudhishthira, no, you don't have to go. This was an emergency. But anyway, he said, I should go. And everybody said, okay, you go. So when he was in pilgrimage, he went to Dwarka. Krishna came out to Dwarka to receive Arjuna. And then he said, you should marry to Subhadra, because Balaram was making an arrangement to marry Subhadra with Duryodhana. And Krishna wanted to Arjuna to get married to Subhadra. And then Krishna devised a plan. He said, you should dress as sannyasi, because Balaram was very fond and to invite sannyasis to his palace. And Subhadra was living with Balaram. And he engaged Subhadra to feed the sannyasis. So that was the plan. Arjuna made his herd, put some fake beard and mustache, and cast a tree dandy, and he went. And when Balaram found out there was a Vaishnava sannyasi in Dwarka, he invited him to the palace. So he went, he took some food, he sent Subhadra to feed him, but Subhadra saw some strange things in this sannyasi. She saw that his shoulder was broad, and when his bow was deep, and when the sannyasi took his plate food from her, he saw that his arms were thick in muscles. He said, this sannyasi is very rare. And then he saw that behind his beard was actually very very handsome sannyasi, very beautiful. Prabhupada explained this, the Kshatriyas were very beautiful, especially the Pandavas. It's not like those some Hollywood movies when you see the, like, I saw some movie from Hiranyakashipu and Nrisimhadev. Wrestling match in the arena of Mathura with Balaram and Krishna fighting with Chamura and Mustika. In the movie, these Kshatriyas were with a big belly and big mustache, like those Mexican rancheros. I'm sorry, Sachitanoi, no offense. And actually, there's one devotee from Mexico, what a nice devotee, and we were watching this Hiranyakashipu story, and Hiranyakashipu was so big belly, huge, with a big mustache. And he said, hey, he looks like my father, he said. So it was not like that. The Kshatriya was so beautiful. Arjuna was so beautiful. Subhadra was so attracted to him. So then one time, because Balaram invited several times, so I'm going to hurry because it's getting late. So Krishna called Draupadi and said, how do you feel marrying to Duryodhana? And she just twisted her face in disgust and say, "What about Arjuna?" He said, "Arjuna, yes." He said, "Oh yeah, I would like to marry to Arjuna." She said, "You know he's here?" And then she realized that the sannyasi was Arjuna. Then the last visit the Arjuna made to the palace, Suvadra make it clear that he wanted to marry to her. So he was giving such glances, smiles, and moving his body very attractive. So Arjuna find out, okay, that's it. So he makes plans anyway. He ended to make a plan with Krishna to kidnap her. And when this one celebration before her marriage, they went to some temple, I think Lord Shiva or something, like the Rumini story. And then because the Jadavas didn't expect any turbulence, so they didn't carry any weapons at that time. So Arjuna puts in his arm, he cut his hair, he took out his beard, and he took a chariot. And then he kidnapped, in that time he kidnapped Subhadra. And all the Jadus were, especially Balaram, was so angry. He wanted to kill Arjuna. Anyway, at the end, Krishna pacified them, and it was a happy ending. Balaram was happy, and they got married, and they brought it back to Dwarka, and they got a proper marriage and everything. That was the end of the story. So all the stories, there's always happy ending. So Chavana Muni and Sukanya also was, you will see there was happy ending, like those soap operas in the TV shows. There's very happy endings. So thank you so much. All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to all devotees of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
That's what happened. It's awesome.